Chapter 10, How God Answers Prayer. For a man fully to understand God and all his dealings with us is an utter impossibility. Oh, the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! Romans 11:33. True, but we need not make difficulties where none exists. If God has all power and all knowledge, surely prayer has no difficulties, though occasionally there may be perplexities. We cannot discover God's method, but we know something of his manner of answering prayer. But at the very outset, may we remind ourselves how little we know about ordinary things? Mr. Edison, whose knowledge is pretty profound, wrote in August 1921, "We don't know the millionth part of 1% about anything. We don't know what water is. We don't know what light is. We don't know what gravitation is. We don't know what enables us to keep on our feet to stand up. We don't know what electricity is. We don't know what heat is. We don't know anything about magnetism. We have a lot of hypotheses, but that is all." But we do not allow our ignorance about all these things to deprive us of their use. We do not know much about prayer, but surely this need not prevent us from praying. We do know what our Lord has taught us about prayer, and we do know that he has sent the Holy Spirit to teach us all things. John 14:26. How then does God answer prayer? One way is just this. He reveals his mind to those who pray. His Holy Spirit puts fresh ideas into the minds of praying people. We are quite aware that the devil and his angels are busy enough putting bad thoughts into our minds. Surely then God and his holy angels can give us good thoughts. Even poor, weak, sinful men and women can put good thoughts into the minds of others. That is what we try to do in writing. We do not stop to think what a wonderful thing it is that a few peculiar shaped black marks on this white paper can uplift and inspire, or depress and cast down, or even convict of sin. But to an untutored savage, it is a stupendous miracle. Moreover, you and I can often read people's thoughts or wishes from an expression on the face or a glance of the eye. Even thought transference between man and man is a commonplace today, and God can in many ways convey his thoughts to us. A remarkable instance of this was related by a speaker last year at Northfield. 3 or 4 years ago, he met an old whaling captain who told him this story. "A good many years ago, I was sailing in the desolate seas off Cape Horn, hunting whales. One day we were beating directly south in the face of a hard wind. We had been tacking this way and that all the morning, and were making very little headway. About 11 o'clock, as I stood at the wheel, the idea suddenly came into my mind. Why batter the ship against these waves? There are probably as many whales to the north as to the south. Suppose we run with the wind instead of against it? In response to that sudden idea, I changed the course of the ship and began to sail north instead of south. 1 hour later at noon, the lookout at the masthead shouted, 'Boats ahead!' Presently, we overtook 4 lifeboats, in which were 14 sailors, the only survivors of the crew of a ship which had burned to the water's edge 10 days before. Those men had been adrift in their boats ever since, praying God frantically for rescue, and we arrived just in time to save them. They could not have survived another day." Then the old whaler added, "I don't know whether you believe in religion or not, but I happen to be a Christian. I have begun every day of my life with prayer that God would use me to help someone else, and I am convinced that God that day put the idea into my mind to change the course of my ship. That idea was the means of saving 14 lives. God has many things to say to us. He has many thoughts to put into our minds. We are apt to be so busy doing his work that we do not stop to listen to his word. Prayer gives God the opportunity of speaking to us and revealing his will to us. May our attitude often be, Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. God answers other prayers by putting new thoughts into the minds of those we pray for. At a series of services dealing with the victorious life, the writer one afternoon urged the congregation to make up their quarrels if they really desired a holy life. One lady went straight home and, after very earnest prayer, wrote to her sister, with whom, owing to some disagreement, she had had nothing to do for 20 years. Her sister was living 30 miles away. The very next morning, the writer of that note received a letter from that very sister asking forgiveness and seeking reconciliation. The two letters had crossed in the post. While the one sister was praying to God for the other, God was speaking to that other sister, putting into her mind the desire for reconciliation. You may say, why did not God put that desire there before? It may be that he foresaw that it would be useless for the distant sister to write asking forgiveness until the other sister was also willing to forgive. The fact remains that when we pray for others, somehow or other, it opens the way for God to influence those we pray for. God needs our prayers, or he would not beg us to pray. A little time back, at the end of a weekly prayer meeting, a godly woman begged those present to pray for her husband, who would never go near a place of worship. The leader suggested that they should continue in prayer then and there. Most earnest prayers were offered up. Now the husband was devoted to his wife and frequently came to meet her. He did so that night and arrived at the hall while the prayer meeting was still in progress. God put it into his mind to open the door and wait inside, a thing he had never done before. As he sat on a chair near the door, leaning his head upon his hand, he overheard those earnest petitions. During the homeward walk, he said, "Wife, who was that man they were praying for tonight?" "Oh," she replied, "it is the husband of one of our workers." "Well, I am quite sure he will be saved," said he. God must answer prayers like that. A little later in the evening, he asked again, "Who was the man they were praying for?" She replied in similar terms as before. On retiring to rest, he could not sleep. He was under deep conviction of sin. Awaking his wife, he begged her to pray for him. How clearly this shows us that when we pray, God can work. God could have prompted that man to enter that prayer meeting any week, but had he done so, it is a question whether any good at all would have come from it. When once those earnest, heartfelt petitions were being offered up on his behalf, God saw that they would have a mighty influence upon that poor man. It is when we pray that God can help us in our work and strengthen our resolves. For we can answer many of our own prayers. One bitter winter, a prosperous farmer was praying that God would keep a neighbor from starving. When the family prayers were over, his little boy said, "Father, I don't think I should have troubled God about that." "Why not?" he asked. "Because it would be easy enough for you to see that they don't starve. There is not the slightest doubt that if we pray for others, we shall also try to help them." A young convert asked his vicar to give him some Christian work. "Have you a chum?" "Yes," replied the boy. "Is he a Christian?" "No, he is as careless as I was." "Then go and ask him to accept Christ as his Savior." "Oh, no," said the lad. "I could never do that. Give me anything but that." "Well," said the vicar, "promise me two things, that you will not speak to him about his soul, and that you will pray to God twice daily for his conversion." "Why, yes, I'll gladly do that," answered the boy. Before 2 weeks was up, he rushed round to the vicarage. "Will you let me off my promise? I must speak to my chum," he cried. When he began to pray, God could give him strength to witness. Communion with God is essential before we have real communion with our fellow man. My belief is that men so seldom speak to others about their spiritual condition because they pray so little for them. The writer has never forgotten how his faith in prayer was confirmed when, as a lad of 13, he earnestly asked God to enable him on a certain day to secure 20 new subscribers for missions overseas. Exactly 20 new names were secured before night closed. The consciousness that God would grant that prayer was an incentive to eager effort and gave an unwonted courage in approaching others. A cleric in England suggested to his people that they should each day pray for the worst man or woman and then go to them and tell them about Jesus. Only 6 agreed to do so. On arrival home, he began to pray. Then he said, "I must not leave this to my people. I must take it up myself. I don't know the bad people. I'll have to go out and inquire." Approaching a rough-looking man at a street corner, he asked, "Are you the worst man in this district?" "No, I'm not." "Would you mind telling me who is?" "I don't mind." "You'll find him at number 7 down that street." He knocked at number 7 and entered. "I'm looking for the worst man in my parish. They tell me it might be you." "Whoever told you that, fetch him here, and I'll show him who's the worst man." "No, there are lots worse men than me." "Well, who is the worst man you know?" "Everybody knows him. He lives at the end house in that court. He's the worst man." So down the court he went and knocked at that door. A surly voice cried, "Come in." There was a man and his wife. "I hope you'll excuse me, but I'm the minister of the chapel along the round. I'm looking for the worst man in my district because I have something to tell him. Are you the worst man?" The man turned to his wife and said, "Lass, tell him what I said to you 5 minutes ago." "No, tell him yourself." "What were you saying?" inquired the visitor. "Well, I've been drinking for 12 weeks. I've had the DTs and have pawned all in the house worth pawning. And I said to my wife a few minutes ago, 'Lass, this thing has to stop, and if it doesn't, I'll stop it myself. I'll go and drown myself.' Then you knocked at the door." "Yes, sir, I'm the very worst man. What have you got to say to me?" "I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the greatest Savior, and that he can make out of the worst men one of the best. He did it for me, and he will do it for you." "Do you think he can do it even for me?" "I'm sure he can. Kneel down and ask him." Not only was that poor drunkard saved from his sins, but he is today a radiant Christian man bringing other drunken people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely none of us find it difficult to believe that God can, in answer to prayer, heal the body, send rain or fair weather, dispel fogs, or avert calamities. We have to do with a God whose knowledge is infinite. He can put it into the mind of a doctor to prescribe a certain medicine or diet or method of cure. All the doctor's skill is from God. He knoweth our frame, for he made it. He knows it far better than the cleverest doctor or surgeon. He made and he can restore. We believe that God desires us to use medical skill, but we also believe that God, by his wonderful knowledge, can heal and sometimes does heal without human cooperation. And God must be allowed to work in his own way. We are so apt to tie God down to the way we approve of. God's aim is to glorify his name in answering our prayers. Sometimes he sees that our desire is right, but our petition wrong. St. Paul thought he could bring more glory to God if only the thorn in the flesh could be removed. God knew that he would be a better man and do better work with the thorn than without it. So God said no, no, no to his prayer, and then explained why. So it was with Monica, who prayed so many years for the conversion of Augustine, her licentious son. When he was determined to leave home and cross the seas to Rome, she prayed earnestly, even passionately, that God would keep him by her side and under her influence. She went down to a little chapel on the seashore to spend the night in prayer close by where the ship lay at anchor. But when morning came, she found that the ship had sailed, even while she prayed. Her petition was refused, but her real desire was granted, for it was in Rome that Augustine met the Saint Ambrose, who led him to Christ. How comforting it is to know that God knows what is best. But we should never think it unreasonable that God should make some things dependent upon our prayers. Some people say that if God really loves us, he would give us what is best for us, whether we ask him or not. Dr. Fostick has so beautifully pointed out that God has left man many things to do for himself. He promises seed time and harvest, yet man must prepare the soil, sow and till and reap in order to allow God to do his share. God provides us with food and drink, but he leaves us to take and eat and drink. There are some things God cannot, or at least will not, do without our help. God cannot do some things unless we think. He never emblazons his truth upon the sky. The laws of science has always been there, but we must think and experiment and think again if we would use those laws for our own good and God's glory. God cannot do some things unless we work. He stores the hills with marble, but he has never built a cathedral. He fills the mountains with iron ore, but he never makes a needle or a locomotive. He leaves that to us. We must work. If then God has left many things dependent upon man's thinking and working, why should he not leave some things dependent upon man's praying? He has done so. Ask and ye shall receive. And there are some things God will not give us unless we ask. Prayer is one of the three ways in which man can cooperate with God, and the greatest of these is prayer. Men of power are without exception men of prayer. God bestows his Holy Spirit in his fullness only on men of prayer. And it is through the operation of the Spirit that answers to prayer come. Every believer has the Spirit of Christ dwelling in him, for if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But a man of prevailing prayer must be filled with the Spirit of God. A lady missionary wrote recently that it used to be said of praying Hyde that he never spoke to an unconverted man, but that he was soundly converted. But if he ever did fail at first to touch a heart for God, he went back to his room and wrestled in prayer till he was shown what it was in himself that had hindered his being used by God. Yes, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we cannot help influencing others Godward. But to have power with men, we must have power with God. The momentous question for you and me is not, however, how does God answer prayer? The question is, do I really pray? What a marvelous power God places at our disposal. Do we for a moment think that anything displeasing to God is worth our while holding on to? Fellow Christian, trust Christ wholly, and you will find him wholly true. Let us give God the chance of putting his mind into us, and we shall never doubt the power of prayer again.